This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We've got some sad news. I know everybody that would have been reading the NZB website, and also if you've skipped over to Bridge Winners about the Kiwi. Did he still call himself a Kiwi, Barry?
He probably did. Once a Kiwi, always a Kiwi.
Yeah.
Pretty good supporter of our National Congress, Ishmael Del Monte,
who has just recently passed away. There's a whole lot of comments about him and Bridge. Check out all the tributes flowing in for him. The family has also raised a Give a Little page, so if you do wish to consider contributing to that, it is givealittle.co.nz, cause help us bring our brother home. You've worked with Ishmael before, haven't you, on commentary on some things?
Yeah, did some commentary with him. Well, there's not much work being done when you're commentating with Ish. Probably 2 o'clock in the morning where he was, and probably midnight where I was, but that was fine. Off he went, and he did not really a lot of work to do when you're commentating with Ish. He was a great commentator, one of the best I've seen. He was very entertaining, always a story to tell about everything, and you could just sit back and watch him go.
The stories related to him and Ashley Bart having a long partnership when they were juniors and taking over the world of bridge here and in Australia. So our thoughts are with Ashley.
I can well remember when him and Ashley first started playing. I hadn't been playing long myself. I remember, I think it was the Rotorua Open 5A, him and Ash just winning it by a mile.
Right.
These two kids that had only just started playing. And, sign of things to come.
You'll find some links to some tributes, like in Australia and also on NZB, if you want to have a little read on the Bridge Winners Forum. A big loss, Bridge as a whole, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, obviously been in the States for the last, I think they said, 20 or 30 years he's been over there. Long time, and it's hard to believe it's that long. Certainly made a big name for himself over there. Some of the top American players all commenting on the Bridge Winners thread. Made a big impact. One big over there as well.
Like we said, our thoughts and prayers are with Ish's family. And if you do want to contribute to it, then have a look at the Give a Little page. What's been happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, I'll tell you what, my tip this week is about procrastination. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
What? But
we'll talk about that soon. For now, we'll talk about the results over the weekend. So there was a couple of events held. There was the Christchurch Midwinter Teams, which was won by the Mayer team, Leon Mayer, playing with Jesse Palanto. They did pretty well with Tim Schumacher and John Skipper to take out the Midwinter Teams. Second was the Taylor team, David Taylor, Richard Lapthorne, Max Morrison and Tony Quinlivan. The Havelock North 5A Swiss Pairs was won by Dennis Appley and Scott Smith. They won by like 26 VPs. Doesn't get much more comfortable than that from John Pitts and George Masters. Closer to home, the Matamata Swiss Pairs was won by Ken Newell and Mike Perry.
Oh, right. That won't be their first rodeo there either. Pretty sure they've won that before.
Second were Russell Wilson and Blair Fisher. But just mentioning Russell Wilson, the original Mr. K's to A's, that was just enough A points to get him over the line to become a gold grandmaster.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I guess the long drive back to New Plymouth would have made it all worthwhile.
Well done. Great news.
The previous week, by the way, Murray Milsom and the Auckland Regional 10A teams got enough to make it to Grandmaster. Well done to Murray. She's a pretty popular lady and everyone pleased to see her get there. And this week at the Swiss Pairs, we had another Grandmaster, and that was Kevin Hu from Auckland getting at a pretty young age for a Grandmaster. He made it on Saturday.
Nice.
The Peter Benham Memorial Pairs. Do you remember Peter Benham?
Yes, I do.
That was held on the weekend. Nigel Kearney and Peter Newell took that out.
29 what? The Tauranga Ladies Online is this coming Wednesday. And they have got 29 pairs entered.
Trouble is, of course, that by the time this show goes to air, it's too late to enter.
That's right.
But
But
anyway,
the
so you're
thought is
playing, so
there.
that'll keep you off the streets on Wednesday.
Yep.
North Island Pairs coming up on the weekend. That's over 2 days, 32 and a half tables. So you probably will still have time to enter that after the show goes to air. So hey, they won't have to go and put any extra tables out, will they? Because it's online.
Yeah, it's such a great thing online. It attracts really good numbers. It's a shame that the future focus is squeezing the life out of it. It's almost like it's being tie-dyed to death, Barry.
I'm not having any more to say. I'll let you go because I said enough last week.
What did you say? You have a tip ready?
I do.
Good.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when
It's
to
about
let go.
procrastination. Is that a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Well, I think it's a bad thing. I don't like procrastinating.
Well, I'm recommending it.
Are you?
So in general, if you're playing a hand, there's usually a critical suit, and it's often not the trump suit, or even if it's no trump, sometimes you've got a critical suit. But particularly in a suit, where you've got a side suit that you have to decide how you're going to play it. It might be as simple as just having to take a finesse or whatever. My tip is procrastinate as much as you can. Do not be in a hurry. It's very tempting to think, oh, I wonder if the finesse is working. Am I going to make? I'll take this finesse and find out. Don't do it. Just try and eliminate other suits, muck around, do whatever you can to delay things, and don't attack that suit until the last possible moment. So I'm saying procrastination. It's the next big thing. The more you procrastinate, the better your results. You should see the
Okay.
look on her face, folks. She doesn't believe me. She thinks I'm making it
Well,
all up.
don't you just plan the way things are gonna go?
You do, but that critical suit, put that right at the end of the plan. Don't
Right.
be in a big hurry to play that suit where you've got a critical choice to make. Maybe it's a two-way finesse or something. Don't you just hate those? Don't be in a hurry to do it. Sometimes the opponents don't know that you've got a problem, and if you put them in, they'll lead the thing for you and you don't have any more worries.
Ah, I see.
Or
Yep.
maybe somebody will throw some out of that suit, or anything can happen. But if you whip in there and play that suit as soon as you've drawn the trumps out, the opponents are never going to get it wrong. Want to give the opponents a chance to get it wrong. They love to get it wrong. Let's give them every opportunity.
So you reckon just wait. Muck around is the word. Muck around, people.
Play the other suits, eliminate those, and just think, oh, well, if I'm going to have to guess which way to finesse, or if I'm going to have to finesse, then that's all cool. But, sometimes the opponents will open up the critical suit for you, and it's always way better to get them to do it than for you to do it. Why
Yep.
do something yourself when you can get somebody else to do it for you?
Ah, wise words. It's pretty cool that you managed to wrangle that in.
Anyway, so you're playing on Wednesday. What other bridge are you playing this week? Wednesday, she's playing online bridge at the Tauranga Ladies Pairs.
Yeah, and then I've got a game of bridge on Friday. I think
Friday, that's
that's the
it.
last one.
Is that one at the
That's
club
at
or the?
Hamilton. Yeah.
Are you playing the North Island Pairs on Saturday?
No,
It's not too late to enter, you know.
I don't really have anyone to play with. So if you're looking to play on it and you need a partner, give me a thought. Flick me an email. You can get me on bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
You might be inundated with partners.
Well, then I can fix everybody up. I could play Cupid.
Only $48 for 2 days, bridge. Bargain.
It is. I had a reminder come up on my calendar, Barry. Guess what it said?
Did you have to put some more money in one of your bridge accounts or something?
No. It said, contact the Hangartner boys. I should be sending them some money for our accommodation. We're going to be flatmates for this year's Congress. And then the second bit, and pay your Congress fees. And I was like, right, I need to do that.
When do they have to be paid by? Whereabouts are you staying? Have you got an
Yeah, we've already got a
Airbnb or
place, but it's
oh,
actually out at Longbourn,
so it's
about
a
five
house.
minutes out of town. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Please note there's no longer an early bird discount. However, all players who are paid in full by the 15th of October go in a draw with one of four chances to win their entry fee back. Okay, so it's to win it back. We did have a query over that. It's not for next year. It's to get it back, Barry. So you can actually go to NZB Congress 2025 for free. Four chances. That's pretty good.
Is it for this year? You get this year's one free.
It said you get your entry fee back.
There you go. So they've got some nice photos up on the National Bridge Congress site, haven't they? I was just having a look at them.
What do they look like?
Oh, they keep changing them. There's a whole lot of them. I'm thinking they seem to have picked a few younger ones to put on there. They won't put our photos on there, though, Mariana. They're probably looking for the beautiful people.
Okay. Beautiful people. Obviously, you haven't got any open homes this weekend because you're playing the entire weekend.
I am. I'm playing the entire weekend, and that'll be good. I'm a bit annoyed to see they have a 9:30 start, so I'm going to have to get my act together to get everything done before 9:30.
All right. You're not going to Te Awamutu in the morning, are you?
I probably will be, but anyway, see how we go. It's going to be a bit tricky. I'd much prefer a 10 o'clock start.
Well, maybe you could play the first couple of boards on your telephone.
While I was driving with a horse on the back, that would be very road safety conscious, wouldn't it?
Just pull over on the side.
Hear ye, hear ye, the coat's in session, the coat's in session. Now here come the judge, here come
good
the
morning
judge.
People, we are with Judge Julie today, and it's me, myself, I.
And me, myself, I.
Yeah, a question today, more about handling boards that have got the incorrect number of cards in them, and how the best way to, I guess, school up the room, trying not to mix the cards up.
Yeah, look, I remember years ago playing in Dannevirke and being penalised by a director because we didn't count the cards back into the board.
Oh, and right.
I've never known anyone that actually does that. And I didn't even know we were meant to do that. It was a junior tournament. I had no idea. Counting the cards out, counting them back in. Obviously, some people might benefit from counting them back in. The point is that we take the cards out, we count them to ensure we've got 13 cards. Because if we haven't and we look at the cards and we've got 14 and we see something, we might not be able to play the hand because we have information about another player's card.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, invariably, this will happen because the previous table, they've put the wrong number of cards back in the board.
Yes.
Sometimes, weirdly enough, that's not necessarily the previous table. Sometimes it takes a long time for people to pick up there's a card in the wrong hand because people are claiming. But fortunately, at club level, not so much. All right.
Yep.
But it certainly does happen that it can be a while. So, when we play the hand at the table that's got the wrong number of cards, if they've played the board with the wrong number of cards, you can't get a result because they have got the wrong cards.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, everyone at the table is meant to count their cards. If that hasn't happened, then the side at fault will get a 40% board and the other side will get 60% because the board is not playable.
Okay, yep.
Now, some of the time that you might be partially at fault, so you might do 40-40 or 50-50 or whatever the case may be. It's sort of up there. Some of the time people say they've counted the cards, but they haven't counted properly.
Right.
And that
yeah.
works some of the time if there's one hand that's got the wrong number and everyone else has got the right number. It certainly doesn't work if two players at the table have the wrong number and both people have miscounted the cards because that's starting to stretch things a wee bit.
Yes, yeah, okay. I can see that.
Right. So because it's disruptive, because we have to give it an adjusted board, and the people that get the board are no longer able to score it very often because they pick it up late because they haven't counted properly, we go back to the previous table when that happens and tell them this is what happened. Clearly, you've done something where the cards have got mixed up.
Yep.
So you don't want that to happen again. Now, we're not going to penalise them and we're not going to warn them. We might have an argument with them because invariably people don't think it's their fault, but that's beside the point. We are just pointing out to them that this has happened because we don't want it to happen again. And Importantly, there shouldn't be any way that it happens because you're not allowed to touch another player's cards.
Right, yeah,
Now,
okay.
if you are a declarer and you have a partner and you are poorly sighted, so you need the cards close to you, you should be able to touch them or call them, preferably call them, and your partner still should be playing them. They should never, ever, for example, shouldn't be picking up North cards and then putting them down. The thing that should happen is that they should call the card and the other player should be picking it up and putting it in front of them the way that they should. No player actually is picking up and playing another player's
Playing a
card.
cat, yeah.
And I really do recommend that when someone leaves the table, if you are a defender, you are under no obligation to play dummy for declarer. If you are picking up their cards and you suddenly get the cards wrong, you are in danger of causing problems that you is really you're trying to be nice and creating issues. All right?
Yes, a lot of people do that, don't they?
They do, and a lot of declarers expect you to do that. And the
Oh.
other problem with that is that when you are playing dummy for declarer, you are looking at two hands, and it can be to the detriment of your side. So if someone has to get up and go, yes, we want to be nice. But if someone gets up to go because they just feel like walking away from the table, then that shouldn't be happening as a rule either. But importantly, we don't touch or play another player's cards.
That's an old habit that I would think people would struggle to change.
Absolutely. So after you've gone back and told the people that have caused the problem, that they've caused a problem, life will go on. And in general, people will be a bit more careful and it shouldn't happen again. If it does happen again, then you are going to be talking to the North, South, or East, West pair that are causing the problem and saying, if you do it again, you'll be penalised. So generally, most things that we do, you tell people that they need to do something appropriate. We'd like you to catch up. So I'm sorry, but you're just falling a bit behind time. Can you play a bit faster, please? Nice, just a statement, nothing else. Second step is to give them a warning to say, this is too much. You're consistently doing whatever is wrong. And if you do it again, then I will be penalising you. And at this stage, you might say 1%, a half a board, a quarter of a board. There's lots of different ways we can penalise. Most of them are small penalties. Patrick and I have had various discussions. I don't think it really matters what you penalise. I think people get upset with any score adjustment, end of story.
Right, yeah,
So the
I hear
point
you.
there is that they are going to, right, so they will catch up or they will stop doing it. Now, the people that have taken the cards out in your case and not counted them properly, they don't get penalised either. They're the same thing. Count your cards carefully, all right? You played the hand and they pick it up, you pick it up later, you tell them you've got to count your cards when you pick them up. If you don't count your cards and this happens again, there will be a penalty, right? I mean, there is in some ways anyway, because if they haven't done it, their side's at fault. So they're going to get a result on the board that is going to be an adjusted board. So
Oh, sounds very nice.
we're there to facilitate. We're not there to be grumpy old buggers. So some of us are getting that way very quickly. We are there to facilitate and to make sure people have an enjoyable session. We're not to hit them over the hand with a ruler, as much as we might think it's appropriate sometimes. We're
Yeah.
The main job of a director is to have the room moving, people playing to a time where we expect to finish, and if anything goes wrong, dealt with quietly and smoothly. When things are slow, to tell the specific people that they're slow rather than shouting at the room is generally better. Sometimes using a microphone helps there, but I mean, sometimes things get really slow and it's too
Yeah,
much
they
to
do.
deal with. So we do all of those things. And that's
Okay.
just so we have fun rather than we're going around being a disciplinarian. All right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. There's always a point where we have to deal with some people for a variety of issues and we have to stand up to them. And it's never easy and it's not pleasant, but we have to be firm that we mean what we say.
Okay.
So
That sounds great.
it's just a steady process. We be nice, we point out it's gone wrong. If it happens again, we'll give a warning. If it happens again, and we really don't expect it to happen again. Because
Right,
if it
yeah.
happens twice, we don't think it's going to happen a third time.
In
And we're
one ear and out the other sometimes.
firm and fair is about where we want to be with all of these things.
I agree. That's it for us this week. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good week.
You too.
So they've just concluded the 19th World Youth Teams Championships in Salsa Maggiore in Italy.
And Italy.
Australia sent a couple of teams, the under-26s and the under-21s. New Zealand didn't send anyone. Not quite sure what happened there, but Australia participated. 15th in one event and 19th in the other.
I mean,
they were there.
Certainly gives them some experience, and I guess
it'd be great experience for them, and sure that some of those players will go on and hopefully represent Australia in the future.
Yeah. So all the best to our team, which is heading off to Denmark soon.
We've got a seniors team, we've got an open team, and we've got a women's team
and
a mixed team.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting to follow. I'm sure NZ Bridge will put a link up on their page to make it easy to find the results when they start.
They will.
Have we got the dates for that? It's in August, isn't it?
Well, Bailiff and Judge Julie are leaving on the 15th of August, so it's probably starting, I don't know, around about the 18th, I would say.
Oh, there is the 20th to the 31st of August.
Yeah, so you probably lose a day of travel.
And on the 20th, I guess it'll probably be like just the opening ceremony or something. Play might not really start till about the 21st, but that's only a few weeks away.
Ifayaki Nate coming up next. Peter Holland gives us a rundown on Estonia's path to winning the World Youth Under 21 Championship.
Today I wanted to talk about the World Junior Championship. The 19th World Junior Championship just finished over in Italy. And I wanted to talk about the under 21 division. This was won by Estonia. This was their first ever medal in under 21s, and they won gold. Not only that, but shortly after, this was the European pairs, and they won first and second in the under 21s in that as well. So absolute dominance. So I wanted to go over some of the hands that they did well. But first of all, here is the team. So the team comprises of Casper Alice, Stella Britta Alice, Jürgen Gussen, Elis Ormer, Albert Pedmanson, Jasper Vark, and then Captain Mielis Coldkeep, and Tono Vark is the coach. Estonia absolutely crushed the qualifying. They qualified first with nearly a match to spare in that spot. But it would be remiss of me not to highlight something that Australia managed to do well. We had a great win over Estonia in the qualifying. So who are the real champions? Estonia. During the qualifying, it was quite often that the captains would hang out and we would be chatting with the Estonian captains a fair bit. And Mike Doki, the captain of the under-26 team, actually said, "Oh, you're getting so many imps. Can't you give some imps to Australia?" And they worked out how. But Estonia had a fantastic qualifying. They finished in first and they got to choose their opponents. And for the quarterfinals, they actually chose Hong Kong, China. During the qualifying, it was quite often that the captains would hang out and we would be chatting with the Estonian captains a fair bit. And Mike Doki, the captain of the under-26 team, actually said, "Oh, you're getting so many imps. Can't you give some imps to Australia?" And they worked out how. But Estonia had a fantastic qualifying. They finished in first and they got to choose their opponents. And for the quarterfinals, they actually chose Hong Kong, China. Estonia went on to win the quarterfinal over Hong Kong by 59 imps. So they were quite convincing there, but they definitely had some more struggles later on in the semi-finals and finals. So in the semi-finals, they were actually playing against England here. And going into the semi-finals, they were leading for most of it, but after three of the four stanzas, they were actually down by one imp going into the final stanza here. Estonia went on to win that by just 8 imps. They were down by 1 going into the final stanza. They had a great run at the start of that stanza. Lost a bit back, but ended up winning by 8 and proceeding on to the final. Now, for the final, they're actually playing against USA 2. So it wasn't all like sunshine and lollipops for Estonia. Going into the final stanza, they were up 23 imps, but they had a couple of bad disasters come in. With six boards left to go, they had a slam swing out where they lost 17 imps. So there was slam making and slam going down. And then this board was with just four boards left in the world championship where they bid grand slam. The other table just stayed in small slam. This went down and they lost another 17 imp swing. So the final stanza, the last six boards, they lost 17 imps twice. And that actually put USA 2 in front by one imp. But then with three boards left, the very next board was another grand slam. So here it went two clubs. It went 11 to 15, at least five card club suit. Two diamonds asking, South showed their spades, North showed diamonds, and then they agreed, and then they got to seven diamonds. They could have asked more questions, but seven diamonds is actually reasonable. It's hard to evaluate how good this actually is, because if diamonds are 4-1, it's going to be awkward, but you've got some good pips that you can pick up some 4-1 diamond breaks. Got the option of clubs breaking, maybe the spade finesse working. So there's lots of options here, but this whole layout's very, very friendly. They got a diamond lead and picked up 12 imps to go on to win the under 21 world championship by 11 imps. Thanks all for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Have a look at Pete's YouTube clip, and you can watch the video as he goes over some of the hands that were pretty out there for the final of the World Youth Champs. Check it out. What do you reckon? This is for the upcoming North Island pairs.
I was just having a look at the field for... I've got my pick. Have you got yours?
Are you picking one or two?
I'm just picking one. My pair's going to beat your pair.
I think I'm going to go for Bailiff and Judge Julie.
No, 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 no. That's who I was going to go for.
Ah, well, if you're not fast, you're last.
Well, there you go. Well, that makes it tricky. That means I'm going to have to pick somebody else. Well, you've really thrown me here. That was a bit mean.
I do like Mike Weir and Jamie. Anna and Richard Solomon are having some good results. Wayne and Claire.
Okay, so here's my pick. And it's pretty wild. On their day, they could win this thing, or they could finish 30th.
Well, that's about it for this week. Take care, everybody.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.